Blog Talk Radio.
Joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. We're sorry about the late start, but we know that God is good and he's worthy to be praised, and I will start with a word of prayer. And, you know, if there's not any testimony, we're going to go straight in the message, into the message, because we know that it's being recorded and also live via the internet is being recorded. So we know the Lord said where there's two or three gather, he will be in the midst. So again, I just want to welcome those that are on, and I pray that others will come back on to join us. Amen. So again, let us have a word of prayer. Kind and loving Father, we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we want to praise you. We want to glorify and magnify your name because you are truly worthy to be praised. Please forgive us where we have failed and come short. Please help us to be overcomer, Lord. Help us and strengthen us, Lord, because we are weak vessel, Lord. And we know that new wine cannot go in old vessel, which means the doctrine and the Holy Spirit cannot go in the old man. The man has to be renewed in mind, body, and soul so that the new doctrine, the new, the Holy Spirit can be inside of of us, O Lord. Please help us, Lord. Strengthen us, O Father. As we see the Sabbath is here, we thank you for your holy Sabbath day of rest. May you help us and strengthen us to keep it holy, because we cannot do it within our own power, within our own strength. We bless your holy name, and we thank you for the man servant, Brother Ricardo, as he will be coming on to share with us these very important message. And we see how the enemy is trying to come in and block the message. But we know, Lord, that all these things happen for a reason, and that we're on the right path, O Father, willing and always want to share the message, want to be that example, want to be Christ-like. When whatever we do, whatever we say, Lord, may your name be glorified and magnified. We thank you ever so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Again, thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. And I will open the line for Brother Ricardo. Brother Eli, we will do testimony on Sunday evening. We will do testimonies. But I will open the line for Brother Ricardo. 610-706, your line is now open. Good evening.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Carla. Happy Sabbath.
Amen. Happy Sabbath, my brother. To you and your wife.
And thank you so
Amen.
Much. Yes, and also thank you so much for your patience. This thing, sometimes the device that can get also get, it can become difficult, and I thank God for your patience. We know that the enemy is our hard friends, and we need to pray like never before. But let us go into our word of prayer. Father in heaven, nothing good I have done. Satan, you have lost another battle. And Lord Jesus, you have prepared a message for your people, a message that will prepare our hearts, to prepare our soul to meet you. A message that, Lord God, am I going to show us what is coming in these last days so we can be equipped in these last days, Lord. Every one of my brothers and sisters on this prayer line, Lord, let us not take these sacred hours for granted. But thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So what we're going to go over today, the third angel message and America in Bible prophecy. This is our message today. Go with me to Revelation. We are looking at the third angel and also America in Bible prophecy. I have a whole lot for you, Bible prophecy, and also some history. Go with me to Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 to 11. Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 to 11. And the third angel followed them, saying, with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment shall ascend up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoso receiveth the mark of his name. This is Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 to 11. So as we are looking at the third angel message, what events mark the proclamation of the third angel? Go with me to Daniel chapter 8, verse 14. A lot of us know this one. Daniel chapter 8, verse 14. What events mark the proclamation of the third angel? This is the last message, the last fearful, the last frightening, the last message that ever given to mortals in these last days. Daniel chapter 8, verse 14, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. When the fulfillment of the sanctuary were cleansed, in 1844, Jesus make a transition from the holy to the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. And so we see now the temple of God were open. And the law of God was revealed. So at the end of the 2,300 days, Jesus moved from the holy place to the most holy place. And go with me to Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 to 10. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 to 10. I beheld till thrones were cast down, and the ancients of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheel as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000 ministered unto him, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. When were the judgment set and the book were open? In 1844. This is when Jesus make his transition from the holy to the most holy place. And we know that judgment starts with the dead. I know you and I, we have a pending case in heaven. And our name can come up in review anytime. John the Revelator also described the same scene. Go with me to Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So let us look at what Sister White view as well. So Sister White was shown in vision in this. In early writings, page 251, paragraph 2. This is what the woman of God said. I was shown. If she said, I was shown, this means in vision. I was shown what did take place in heaven at the close of the prophetic period in 1844. As Jesus ended his ministration in the holy place and closed the door of that apartment, a great darkness settled upon those who had heard and rejected the message of his coming, and they lost sight of him. Jesus then clothed himself with precious garments. Around the bottom of his robe was a bell and a pomegranate. A bell and a pomegranate, a breastplate of curious work, was suspended from his shoulders. As he moved, this glitter-like diamond, magnifying letters which looked like names written or engraved upon his breastplate. Upon his head was something which had the appearance of a crown. When fully attired, he was surrounded by angels, and in a flaming chariot, he passed within the second veil. Remember John the Revelator, John C. in Revelation chapter 11, verse 19, and the temple of God was open. Remember, the woman of God said, I was shown. She was shown when the temple of God was open and what was taking place. Listen to what Revelation chapter 11, verse 19 says. In comparison with the vision. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there was lightnings and voices thundering and an earthquake and great hail. So this vision also says he was surrounded by angels, and in a flaming chariot he passed within the veil on 1844, beloved. And we are in the investigative judgment, the Day of Atonement. Now, what was in the first apartment? Because we know that Jesus makes his transition from the holy to the most holy. What was in the first apartment? We see there was a candlestick, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, and also the censer. Listen what paragraph 3 said in early writings, page 251, paragraph 3. The curtain which separated the two apartments was of different colors and material, with a beautiful border in which were figures wrought of gold to represent angels. The veil was lifted, and I looked into the second apartment. The Bible said it, the temple of God was open. And look into the second apartment. I saw there an ark which had the appearance of being of the finest gold, had border around the top of the ark, was most beautiful work representing crowns. In the ark were tables of stone containing the Ten Commandments. So that's why God raised up Seventh-day Adventists, because the majority, friends, they knock and they shun the fourth commandment. But God is showing John the Revelator, and God also is showing Sister White, that the Ten Commandments is still binding. This is the seal of the living God. Let us see if the Bible can identify and break down these things I'll read for you in the council. Let us go with me to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 to 5. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 to 5. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinance of divine service and a royal sanctuary. Verse 2. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Verse 3. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. Verse 4. Which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlay around about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the table of the covenant. Verse 5. And over it the cherubim of glory, shattering the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. So God is showing us as Everyday Adventists that these messages need to go out to the world, because the whole world rejects the law of God. And God entrusted these truths, these lights, these precious messages in our hands. Let us ask the Lord to send us to do this finishing work. Go with me to Revelation chapter 15, verse 5. Because remember, they saw in the temple was open, and they see the ark of the covenant overlay with gold. So now we're going to go a little bit deeper. Revelation chapter 15, verse 5. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testament in heaven was open. What is this now? What is this testament in heaven? Let me read it again. Revelation chapter 15. I look, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testament in heaven was open. What is this testimony in heaven? Go with me to Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communion with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. So the Ten Commandments were written with the finger of God. But this is the law that man says do away with. Listen what the Spirit of Prophecy said. The Spirit of Prophecy, volume 4, page 273, paragraph 1. When Christ enters the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary to perform the closing work of the atonement, he committed to his servants the last message of mercy to be given to the world. It is the warning of the third angel of Revelation 14. Immediately following its proclamation, the Son of Man is seen by the prophet coming in glory to reap the harvest of the earth. So Jesus committed to his servants what? The last message of mercy to be given to the world. That word committed means to carry out, to perform. One more step. In early writings, page 254, paragraph 1. Early writings, page 254, paragraph 1. A parchment, this is when Jesus sent the message now. The Spirit of Prophecy, the council is going to clarify some things for us. A parchment was placed in the hand, in the angel's hand. Sorry. A parchment was placed in the angel's hand. And as he descended to the earth in power and majesty, he proclaimed a fearful warning with the most terrible born to man. This message was designed to put the children of God upon their guard. What message is this? By showing them the hour of temptation and anguish that was before them, said the angel, they will be brought into close combat with the beast and his image. Brothers and sisters, our combat is we must exalt the truth of God, his Sabbath. Because we are entering into a dark ages, beloved. And we need to ask God, give me the spirit of boldness so I can stand as a true soldier in these last days. What does the third angel want the whole world against? Against worship. Right? Remember in Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 to 12, I read it, I scan over it again a little bit. And remember the Bible says, and the third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hands, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Paul. No message God ever sent that's so frightening and so threatening to mortals. Hear what the woman of God said, the Corinthian said, he proclaimed a fearful warning with the most precious threatening ever born to man. If any man worship Sunday, if any man go along, the same shall drink of the wrath of God, the everlasting flame. Go with me to now, because I'm going to show you now the beast power want worship. All of this that we are going through, beloved, this great controversy is over worship. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. This is where Jesus goes through the same test. And you and I are going to go through the same test. And a lot of us, we're going to fail this test because we want watered-down message. Beloved, this when you hear my voice, you ain't getting no watered-down message because I preach for Christ. I don't preach for man. I'm going to give you what thus said the Lord. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. Again, the devil took them up into an exceedingly high mountain and show him all the kingdom of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, what is the purpose of Satan showing Jesus all the kingdom of the world? And said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Many of us, when we realize that our house is at stake, our job is at stake, and everything at stake, the Lord, the powers that be going to say, all you have to do is just to keep Sunday. Mercy. And a lot of us are going to bow. Brothers and sisters, we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ like never before. If thou wilt fall down and worship me, this is Satan talking to Jesus. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. That includes Egypt, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, etc. These are names of kingdoms Satan was showing Jesus. Showing the whole kingdom of the world. And say, I will give you all these things if you fall down and worship me. I will allow you to have your jobs and allow you to have your bank account and all these things if you keep Sunday. Go with me to John chapter 4, verse 23. John chapter 4. Verse 23, we're dealing with worship. We're going somewhere. John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You want the truth? Or you want a cotton candy message? Or you want me to lie to you? So you can fall asleep. I want a message to arouse you, to repent of your sin. Go with me to John chapter 16, verse 13. John chapter 16, verse 13. Worship and truth. Psalms 119:151. Worship and truth. John 16:13. For be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Some of us don't even want the Holy Spirit to guide us. Because when we hear message, we can't differentiate if that message is from God or whatever. And rejecting the power and the moving of the Holy Spirit upon your life, upon your heart. For be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he will show you things to come. Psalms 119:151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are what? Truth. Only those who are worshiping the Father in spirit and truth going to stand on the truth in these last days. Psalms 89:34. For those who said, God break his law, Jesus do away with the law. Let me give you what God said out of his mouth. Psalms 89:34. God said, my covenant will I not break, nor alter. That word alter, change. Nor alter the things that is gone out of my mouth. What is this covenant? Deuteronomy 4:13. My covenant will I not break. The covenant is the Ten Commandments. Where is the law of God is written now? Where is the law of God is written now? 2 Corinthians 3:3. 2 Corinthians 3:3. For as much ye are manifested, declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. Brothers and sisters, let us get ready, because Jesus Christ is coming. Desire of Ages, page 175, paragraph 5. Desire of Ages, 175, paragraph 5. The light shining from the cross reveals the love of God. The light shining from the cross reveals the love of God. His love is drawing us to himself. If we do not resist this drawing, we shall be led to the foot of the cross in repentance for the sin that have crucified the Savior. Then the Spirit of God, through faith, produce a new life in the soul. The thoughts and the desire are brought into obedience to the will of Christ. The heart, the mind are created anew of him who worked in us to subdue all things to himself. Then the law of God is written in the mind and heart, and we can say with Christ, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. Psalms chapter 40, verse 8. Remember Revelation chapter 14:9-10. Remember, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship what? The beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. So now, the Bible keeps talking about beasts. Who is this beast? What is a beast? Go with me to Daniel 7:23. Daniel 7:23. What is a beast? Daniel 7:23. Thus he says, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. What is a beast? A kingdom. Who rule a kingdom? A king. Are you with me, friends? Thus he says, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Dealing with Rome, the papacy. Go with me to Daniel 8:1. I'll give you this one. Let me just move on. And out of one of them came forth a little horn. Go with me to Daniel 8:9-10. Daniel 8:9-10. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which walked exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it walked great even to the host of heaven. And he cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground. These are a lot of revelation I can't be emphasized on some of these things. But you get the point. And stamp I skipped a verse. Bear with me, friends. I'm going to go back there. My notes. And it was great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped them upon them. Yes. So this is the rise pagan Rome, the fourth kingdom of Daniel 2. This is the rise of pagan Rome, the fourth kingdom of Daniel 2. Let me move on. You know what? Go with me to 1 Timothy 4:1. 1 Timothy 4:1. I want to show you something. When the Bible talks about doctrines of devil, doctrines of devil is dealing with pagan doctrines. And we know these doctrines is coming from Rome. Speak especially that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. In other words, some shall depart from present truth. Some shall depart from sound doctrine, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Who are these doctrines of devils? Pagan doctrines. Where did these pagan doctrines come from? Rome. The papacy. Let us look at doctrine a little bit more. 2 Timothy 4:3. 2 Timothy 4:3. 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We are talking about even professed Seventh-day Adventists. For the time will come, and the time is here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall eat to themselves teachers. I don't want to hear that one over there. I like that guy that here. You talk about Jesus. Jesus love you. This I know, for the Bible said, tell me so. Let me go over there. I don't want to hear that preacher over there tell me, boy, I must repent. If I don't repent, if I don't get it right, fire and brimstone going to come up at me. And seven last plague, God going to cause the sun to burn me like fire. I don't want to hear this doom and gloom message. Brothers and sisters, God never give us no doom and gloom message. Jesus loves us so much that he give us warning. He know that our heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know? Only God. None of us even know ourselves. One moment you can be on fire for Jesus and not next moment. You don't want you nothing about Jesus. Brothers and sisters, let us check ourselves in these last days. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. In other words, they will not have a firm foundation on present truth. But after their whole loss, shall reap to themselves teachers having an itchy ear. But listen what the Bible says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except the coming of falling away first, falling away from present truth first, falling away from sound doctrine first, falling away from our pillar of our faith first, and that man of sin be revealed. When you hear Seventh-day Adventists say we must not talk about Pope Francis, we must not focus on present, all of these things and whatever, talk about the love of Jesus. Beloved, you talk like a foolish virgin. What is the love of Jesus? What is the faith of Jesus? The faith of Jesus is the first, second, and third angel message. The faith of Jesus is the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Jesus Christ is not a bed of roses, beloved. Jesus coming going to destroy this earth, destroy your home, destroy all your investments. Wherever you are, beloved, coming going to be like a stormy day. Can you recall one of the craziest storms in your life? Jesus coming is coming with fire and brimstone, beloved. Earthquake, lightning and thunder. What do you think the Bible says? Who can stand? But when we sing the song, standing on the promise of God. Are you standing on it? Because if we are not standing, we're going to be running from him to the rocks and to the mountain and say, hide us from him. We have an enemy. Seventh-day Adventists, we have an enemy. And who is our enemy? The papacy. The Catholic Church. When I talk about the Catholic Church, I'm not talking about people. We are talking about the system. That corrupt system that secured God's people in the dark ages. 50 million Christians was killed, beloved. Beloved, can you imagine that they turn off all of the lights and Christian bodies was going up in flames? That was the body in the arena. And the pagans will come and pay money to watch Christians be torn by lions and hungry animals. And we here, we want to lie in bed with Rome. The Bible says Rome never changed. And everyone who come in ecumenical alliance with Rome will have it thus. Let us repent because Jesus Christ is coming. He'll have us. Not care how much you lower the standard, Rome never satisfied. Not care how much you don't want to preach and tell the congregation this message, Rome never changed. He never satisfied. Protestant changed. Baptist changed. Seventh-day Adventist changed. But Rome never changed. He's coming. Either you're going to be on our side or you're going to be persecuted and die like a soldier for Christ. We don't want to hear these messages. We want to hear Captain Candy message. But, beloved, I will beat you with many stripes. I ain't got to stand before you. When the last day have to stand before Jesus. Why you did not tell my people? Do you remember when Jesus gives Sister White the vision, the dream, and tell to warn certain brethren? She loved the brethren so much. You know that's human nature. Dress up the message that God gave unto her. Water down the message. And when Jesus showed her in her vision again, Jesus' face was frowned. And these people that Jesus said she must warn, they was coming upon her with their hands, with blood, wiping their blood on her garment, beloved. When she see that face, she says she dare not to see that face. Can you imagine if Jesus gives me a message and I want to preach message what I feel like to preach? Thousands of people don't want to hear these kind of type of message, friends. But Jesus said we must preach it. The only reason for us to be a Seventh-day Adventist, to be in existence in these last days, is to give the last warning. But some of us don't want it. We want to be eased in Zion. The man of sin, when the Bible says, will be revealed, that is the little horn power or the papacy in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. I'll skip that one. Let me just read it. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. Before there were three of the first plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of men, and a mouth speaking great things. What does the Bible mean, the horn have eyes like of men? You hear what the Bible said? Behold, in this horn were like the eyes of men, and a mouth speaking great things. What does the Bible mean? The horn have eyes like a man. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20. I go over back them, beloved. I have a lot to share with you. All right, Proverbs chapter 16, first one, verse 2, is read, all the ways of a man are clean in his own hands, but the Lord weighs the spirit. All the ways of a man are what? Clean in his own hands. but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Are you hearing this? Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, own understanding, own opinions, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20. This one that stood out to me. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of men are never satisfied. Beloved, not care how much we see our leaders want to be up on all of them, want to come in alliance with Rome, different organizations. And Jesus tell us we must not lower the standard or come in agreement with them. Not care how much you lower the standard, not care how much you fight against the faithful ministers, the faithful laymen who are preaching the first, second, and third angel message. Why? Because you want to embed with Rome. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of men are never satisfied. The eyes of the papacy are not never satisfied. She wants blood, beloved. She wants total control. Go back with me to Daniel chapter 7, verse 23 to 24. Daniel chapter 7, verse 23 to 24. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces, and the ten horns Thus he says, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms, and shall be that devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. Then the horns of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. Now, question. How did the Roman Catholic Church grow in power? Let me read something for you. In AD 476, the Roman Catholic Church grew in power after Constantine accepted Christianity. But it did not control secular affairs until Justinian decrees went into effect. The power of the Bishop of Rome steadily increased, and papal authority in secular affairs across the Barbarian division of Rome arose in the Barbarian division of Rome in 476 AD. Now, where did the papacy get this power from? Now you see the whole world wandering after the beast. Our presidents, prime ministers, leaders, everyone, they are bowing to her. Where did she get this power from? Let us see what the Bible has to say. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. And I stood upon the sea of it, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horn ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave his power and his seed and great authority. Who gave the papacy this power? The dragon, Satan, when Constantine was a pagan. When Constantine, Christianity, he was never converted, by the way. What he do, they bring in all of their festivals, and all of these festivals, a lot of us, we celebrate. And through knowledge, God delivers us from these things. What I want a big one, Christmas, Easter, Halloween, you name it, Labor Day, all of these coming from the pagan festival. Constantine removed the seat of his empire from Rome to Constantinople, AD 330, and the city of Rome was left to the Bishop of Rome. So now, question now, when did the Pope become the head of all churches? Because remember now, the Dragon Giver Party, right, and its power. The papacy ruled from 538 to 1798, that is 1260 years, which we call the Dark Ages. In 538, the Pope became head of all churches and corrector of heretics by the decree of Justinian. The empire of the Roman Empire, thus Rome became the seat of the papacy, and Pope received his authority from the dragon power, pagan Rome. Now, I ask the question, how long did the little horn power or the papacy rule for? Let us use the little horn power. How long did the little horn power rule for? Go with me to Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, which he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that shall be for a time, times, and half a time, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now, in Bible prophecy, one day in Bible prophecy equal a year. Are you with me? Is that so? Remember Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 6? Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 6? When thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah for 40 days. I have appointed each day for what I hear. So they're going to lay down on thy side 40 days. So God said, I have appointed day for I hear. So the papacy rule, the little horn power rule 1260 years. Can the Bible back prove it? Yes. So what is a time? A time is 360. Times, that will give you 720. And half a time will give you 180. How do I get that? In Bible prophecy, how many days are in the year? 360. Times, that will give you a 360 plus 360, that will give you 720. And the Bible says half a time. You see right there? Half a time. A half of 360 would give you what? One what? 80. Or you could say 180 plus 180 would give you 360. So this power ruled 1260 years, which we call the Dark Ages. That's why Luther wrote one of his songs, Faith of Our Fathers, Living Still. These are the dark ages, beloved. Christian was being persecuted, burned at the stake, friends, burned in front of their family. And while they were burning, beloved, they were singing songs. And while they are burning, because the pagans feared that so much, and the pagans realized that these people, they are dying, not fearful, but dying with joy, singing songs. Joy on their face, they was puzzled. And while, when they start to hunt the Christians, hunt them down, ask them, what is it that you guys, we're killing you guys and you have so much joy? They start to give them the gospel that Jesus died and rose and conquered death. And he promised us that we will receive life eternal in spite of if we die in this life, die for our faith. And while Rome were persecuting, beloved, they persecute one who accept the faith. But today we are so spoiled. Jesus said, the Bible says, will God find faith when he comes? We need this kind of faith, beloved. We don't have this faith like these people. The wild and seas lost everything in the wilderness, in mountains, living with their child. Can you imagine they don't have no blanket to sleep on, sleep on all rocks, sleep with insects, spiders, and all these things. Then faith never wavers. But us, we're gonna experience something like that. And the Bible says they're gonna be such a trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Beloved, if you are saying that you don't want to hear this message, I'm sorry to tell you, but you're gonna deny God's people. The spirit of prophecy said it, the Bible said it. Go on your knees and say, Lord have mercy, for I know not what I said. Speaking against holy things. You are carnal and soul under sin. You don't know your very heart. Beloved, can you imagine wife looking at her husband and they are putting her husband's hand in the fire and say, Richard, deny your faith. Say you don't believe anymore. Say you don't believe anymore. See the husband's hand tied up, fire blazing his hand, skin burning off, beloved. And when he cannot recant, they kill him, beloved. Kill her husband right in front of her face. Children right there. This is what they go through, the dark ages. You and I are going to go through it. We are so spoiled and careless and indifferent. We Seventh-day Adventists, we are told we have nothing to fear for the future. Expect we forget. Seventh-day Adventists, we don't want to hear our message anymore. We don't want to hear these things that can arouse us and get us and shake us up. We don't want to hear these things. Why? Because we forget our history. Only thing that you have a name, so you keep Sabbath. Either you change your name or you change your life. What is your name? I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Are you a true witness? But we got offended when we hear song message. Beloved, I don't know if I am going to lose my life. But I tell you this, your blood will not be on my hands. Because I tell you the truth. Jesus said, will you offended of me? In other words, Jesus is truth. Jesus is saying that when you hear these truths, are you going to be offended? So blessed is he that is not offended. You are not blessed. When you are offended, Jesus, you cannot be blessed. He said, blessed are they that are not offended of the truth. Truth is not against God's people. Truth is against error and darkness. Truth exalt the people of God, but some will do not want it in these last days. God give us a free choice to choose who you will serve. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Paul, this is when the God's people was going through the dark ages, beloved. They were persecuting the God's people. This is what you call weary out the saints. People was running. The Bible was confiscated, beloved. They cannot read the Bible. Wear out the saints. Get bloodshed upon bloodshed. Can you imagine mothers see their children snatch out of their hands alive and throw us over a cliff? Repent. Beloved, I close right here. I love you. And a time is coming that we are told that we're gonna let go of every hand. But only hand you will not let go of Jesus' unchanging hand. If you're still holding on to Jesus, you will hold on to his truth. If you are still holding on to Jesus, you will hold on to what he said unto thee. If you are still holding on to Jesus, when he speaks sometimes, it go against the grain, but you say, Lord, give me the power to obey. If you are still holding on, you will not be the nominal Seventh-day Adventist who will, Sister White said, will betray God's people to the Roman Catholic. If you are still holding on to Jesus, say, Lord, let me not let go. By faith, increase my faith. Let me pray. Father in heaven, somebody get the message. Lord, troublesome times are coming. Lord, the power that be, say, Lord, by 2030, we will own nothing. We will have no privacy. We will have no home. We will have no clothes. We will have no shoes. But we will be happy. And Lord, sometimes when we hear these things, they fly over our head, oh God. We don't understand that all of us in our comfort zone, the test going to come to every man's doorstep, even mine. And this test is going to show if Brother Ricardo have a relationship with Jesus. When the test come and brought forth at our footsteps, going to show if Advent Light know Jesus. Are you going to deny him for a morsel of bread? Many of us are going to deny him for a piece of bread. Many of us are going to deny him for a piece of house, material things. But Lord, I pray that your people, we say, Lord, I am fearful. I am sinful. I am weak. Give me the strength. Give me that kind of faith, oh God. Even when they are killing me, oh God, I will not deny you. Thank you so much for this message. Thank you so much for the listener. Thank you so much for their patience. Bless your people. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Ricardo, for that timely message. And I just want to thank my brothers and sisters for joining us. I know it's a little late, some technical difficulties. So we might be starting at 8 o'clock Eastern Central Time from now on and 7 p.m. Central Time, you know. But we'll send out the time. So may God richly bless you as you receive this fresh bread from heaven through the Word of God. And Proverbs chapter 11, starting at verse 4, it says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness deliver from debt. The righteous of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. We know we are in the last days, brothers and sisters, and God is soon to come. And the three angels' message should be preached throughout the world. And we have to relearn. Many in the church, you know, are not preaching. They don't know the three angels' message. And they have to relearn it and preach it and live it. Amen. So may the Lord richly bless each and every one of you. Happy Sabbath, my brothers and sisters. Jesus love you. He's soon to come. Are we ready? Or is our hands clean? Have we done all that he has for us to do? Have we shared the gospel with all those we know? If not, we have to repent and ask God to help us and direct us to the lost, the suffering, who doesn't know him, and open up our homes, our hearts, and help them. Amen. So again, thank you, my brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath. Jesus is soon to come. Let us be ready and prepared. Amen.